Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Spellman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today for another hour of in-depth conversation that will transform your life and your health. As you know, this is Breast Health Awareness Month. At least I am calling it Breast Health Awareness Month. And the entire month of October, and actually I'm spilling over into November because there is so much important information to share with you. I have been focusing on strategies to support and enhance prevention of breast cancer. And for those who are dealing with a breast cancer episode, some strategies and insights to help in their healing and regeneration, rejuvenation for the long term. It's been a fascinating month. I've had some amazing guests, and I will continue to help inspire you and expand your awareness and bring in more wonderful people like my guests today. But before I do that, I do want to say a few things. In honor of Breast Health Awareness Month, what I am doing is sharing with you for free two copies of one of the books I've written called What Women Must Know to Protect Their Daughters from Breast Cancer. This is a really big book, over 300 pages, and I wrote this book to support mothers, daughters, grandmothers, to help create and raise healthy children and to help those young women who are now at risk of breast cancer, since breast cancer is occurring in 20 and 30-year-olds, to have a greater awareness of what they need to do to optimize and support their health. And then as mothers and parents, what they need to do to ensure the health of their children from the time they're born, even before, all the way along. So it's a very enlightening book. It's filled with lots of practical strategies, solutions, and just a bigger picture of what's going on. It really is a sequel to my first book called Hormone Heresy, What Women Must Know About Their Hormones. And I am offering two copies of my book. I'm calling my special offer my Bosom Buddy Bonus. So for the ordering of any of my products on my website, What Women Must Know, you can order anything, any service, any product, and I will include two copies, one for you so you can learn, and one for a special friend so you can share and pass on the knowledge. So take advantage of that. That's available throughout the month, well, as long as I'm running the series, which is now being extended into November. So as long as I am doing my breast health awareness series, that offer stands. So I hope you'll take advantage of it. It's a very unique book. There aren't too many books that are addressing these issues. It will really enlighten you in many, many ways. That's my Bosom Buddy Bonus. And one more thing I want to say, I will be returning to New York City. I come in twice a year. I will be lecturing on the afternoon, 2 to 5 p.m., at the Natural Gourmet School that is down on West 21st Street. It's a fantastic class. It's all about your hormones. I'm not only going to be sharing the information and the research that I've been doing, what has helped me to transform my health and hormones, but what I've been sharing for many, many years now. But also it's hands-on, it's practical, there's some giveaways. I have a really fun and enlightening afternoon in store for all of you. So if you are anywhere near the metropolitan area, come on down. And you just need to contact the Natural Gourmet School. And their website is naturalgourmetschool.com. They have a phone number, which is 212-355-0607. You do need to book and make your place known. And it's a great group. It's a great afternoon. And I know it will really support you in transforming your health and well-being. So come along and join me. It's great to meet people in person, too. Anyway, that's November 23rd, 2 to 5 p.m. at the Natural Gourmet School. Now, let's talk about another wonderful episode that I'll be sharing with you for this Breast Health Awareness Month. And we're going to be talking about breast health prevention and healing strategies with an integrative oncologist. And I'm really excited about the show. We have Dr. Mitchell Gaynor, who will be with us sharing his experience. He kind of strides two different worlds. And I just want to share a little bit about Dr. Gaynor. He is founder and president of Gaynor Integrative Oncology and Gaynor Wellness in New York City, a renowned pioneer in the field of integrative oncology for 30 years. Dr. Gaynor is author, physician, speaker, and composer of original sound healing meditations. His latest book, The Gene Therapy Plan, Taking Control of Your Genetic Destiny Through Diet and Lifestyle, which is due out in April, this coming April, provides a revolutionary approach to reverse gene damage associated with aging, cancer, obesity, and diabetes, and to prevent future gene deterioration with specific programs that are appropriate for anyone who wants to maximize longevity for themselves, their children, and future generations. Dr. Gaynor has a notable history in the treatment of chronic diseases, particularly cancer, with scientifically grounded therapies that augment traditional modalities. He has served as director of medical oncology at the Strang Cancer Prevention Center in New York and was former medical director and director of medical oncology at the Weill Cornell Medical Center for Complementary and Integrative Medicine in New York. He has served on the executive review panel at the Department of Defense Alternative Medicine for Breast Cancer Sector and the Smithsonian Institute's New Frontiers in Breast Cancer and the Environment Seminars. Board certified in internal medicine, medical oncology, and hematology, he is a member of the American Society of Clinical Oncology and American College of Physicians and the New York Academy of Sciences. He is a postgraduate fellow in molecular biology at Rockefeller University in New York City. Dr. Gaynor is a popular speaker and lecturer in hospitals, conferences, spiritual centers, and universities throughout America and abroad. His topics frequently focus on cancer and its cause, as well as his successful therapies that reverse cancer damage and promote vibrant health. He has spoken extensively in the field of integrative medicine and most recently about his gene changer programs to promote healthy gene expression and reverse damage from chronic diseases. Dr. Gaynor has been consecutively listed in the Best Doctors in New York since 1997 and has served on the board of advisors for Healthy Living magazine, the SAS Medical Foundation, as well as the editorial board of Integrative Cancer Therapies. He is the best-selling author of 4 books and 6 CDs focusing on healing and health, and his newest book, The Gene Therapy Plan, is the latest evolution in his creation of scientific modalities that can change gene expression for optimum health. He is an expert in the field of sound therapy and has produced 6 CDs incorporating his original music and guided meditations. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Mitch Gaynor to the show. I'm so glad we still have time after that amazing introduction, all your
accomplishments. Well, thank you for that.
You know, it really is an amazing accomplishment what you have done with your life, and I just want to acknowledge you for the tremendous amount of work and research and just expanding your horizons and taking everyone along with you so we're all expanding our horizons together.
Yeah, well, it really is. It's such an exciting time to be in medicine and just to look at all the advances, not just in the treatment, but in the prevention of so many diseases like cancer. Like what we're talking about today, breast cancer in particular. And a lot of people don't understand that pretty much everybody, by the time they're in their 20s, are walking around with some cancer cells somewhere in their body. They're just dormant. And we know that from people who unfortunately died in accidents, car accidents, or wars. And they did autopsies on them and found dormant cancer in any of a number of different places, breast, lung, colon. And so we've been living in a country, unfortunately, where 1 in 3 Americans are going to hear the words, you have cancer, in their lifetime. That's rapidly going up to 50%. 1 in 2 Americans are going to hear those words. But the good news is we know a lot of the molecular mechanisms about how to prevent cancer. And I think that that is what my new book is talking about. And I know that that's been a big focus of your work as well.
It has, and I think it's I'm really looking forward to getting your book when it comes out, because this whole understanding of how we can alter genes and how food and nutrition can have a profound impact on gene expression of key genes that directly control the function of very vital aspects of ourselves is where it's all at, actually.
It is.
You're an integrative oncologist. That's a very kind of small fraternity, I would imagine, at this point, isn't it? There aren't too many.
It is, and to understand what integrative oncology is, it really combines, an understanding of how oncology is evolving. So there are all these new targeted therapies out there that are very different than the older chemotherapies. They're more targeted against a specific cancer. They have, in most cases, less side effects. There's all these new things for the immune system. The traditional aspect of oncology is catching up with something I've been very interested in for a long time, and that's ways of boosting the parts of the immune system that fight cancer, and really an understanding that more is not necessarily better. So, for so long, we were thinking, well, just more and stronger chemotherapy, to rid your body of every last cancer cell, that was going to do the trick. And we've seen, over the last 40 years and billions of dollars, that hasn't done the trick. And so now we're becoming much smarter about it. But the integrative approach involves a lot of nutrition. It looks at a lot of nutritional testing, and it looks at all the underlying causes of cancer. So one of the big underlying causes is detoxification or lack of detoxification. So everybody's born with the genes they're born with, half from your mother, half from your father. And we always thought that our genetic destiny was fixed. If you were going to be prone to cancer or heart disease or being overweight or premature aging, whatever, then that was your destiny. But nothing could be further from the truth. Your destiny is not fixed. It's very dynamic because the expression of those genes can be changed throughout your lifetime. So there are a number of nutrients, for instance, that will increase the body's genetic production and subsequent production of enzymes that get rid of toxins. So we're all being bombarded with different toxins, heavy metals, pesticide residues, herbicide residues, different chemicals. They get stored in our body. Our body's first line of defense is to get rid of them. So there are nutrients like garlic that I talk about in the book, turmeric or curcumin. That's what gives curry its yellow color. Those literally are a type of gene therapy that's increasing the body's production of detoxifying enzymes. Then there's the omega-3 fatty acids found in flaxseed and pumpkin seed and cold deep water fish. They increase the body's production of detoxifying enzymes. And there was actually, since we're talking about breast cancer, a fascinating study a few years ago out of Johns Hopkins, and they compared women with and without breast cancer and looked at the most important detoxifying enzyme, which is called GST, or glutathione S transferase. And what they found, that women with the lowest levels of that enzyme had a fourfold increased risk of developing breast cancer. Then you have to keep your immune system strong. And there are a number of nutrients that are very important in that. One of the most important is vitamin D3. D3 is critical for your immune cells to work. That's why women with the lowest metabolite of vitamin D3, it's called 25-hydroxyvitamin D, everybody should know their level.
What number do you like to see?
Anywhere from 70 to 100.
Right, so you're on the high end of that reference range, which I recommend as well.
Yeah, but I have people come in all the time, they've never had it checked, and it's 17 or it's 15. It's just dreadfully low. And then there was a paper published about 3 years ago, a huge paper looking at women when they were diagnosed with breast cancer, and they have the women with the lowest levels when they're diagnosed of vitamin D3 or 25-hydroxyvitamin D have a 90% higher chance of developing metastatic disease. So, you know, it's critical we start looking for these types of things. And then,
and I just want to say it's not good enough to say I am taking vitamin D.
No.
Because, as you know, there are genes that also affect how well we absorb and assimilate and access vitamin D, which affects what, a third of all our genes can be influenced by vitamin D?
Absolutely. And it has everything to do, even depression. The neurotransmitters in your brain are critically dependent on D3. Your heart, your detoxifying enzymes, and you're right. You have no idea how well you're absorbing it unless you follow your levels. I personally happen to be a very poor absorber of vitamin D3, and I have to take a lot. But you have to know your levels. You can't guess.
And there are websites that if people do not have health insurance and they can't go and get their doctor to draw their blood, there are websites like grassrootshealth.org that offers test kits that you can do at home and then send back to the lab so you can get your levels checked. So
yes, unfortunately, those types of companies are increasing, which is a good thing.
Okay, so I interrupted you, so carry on, because I know you have a long list of things that are your
strategies. The other big thing is sugar. And so the reason I say sugar is so much of the population is walking around with, you know, prediabetes or metabolic syndrome, which is a more insulin resistance type of syndrome. Why is that bad? What does it have to do with cancer? It actually has a lot, because every time your pancreas has to make insulin to metabolize sugar, your liver is making something called IGF, or insulin-like growth factor. That's a very strong tumor promoter. So we know, for instance, women who are diagnosed with breast cancer that have high circulating insulin levels and high circulating IGF levels have a much poorer prognosis than women that don't have that problem. And so one of the strategies that I employ, there's a drug called metformin that came out in 1955. It used to be an herb. It came from the French lilac, and it was made into a drug in Europe in 1955. It's been off patent since about 1970, so most people don't know about it because nobody's really profiting on it. But it's an amazing drug because they noticed over the ensuing decades that people on metformin had 40% less cancer overall than everybody else. Diabetics who were taking metformin had 62% less pancreatic cancer, which is really increasing in frequency. In younger people than people who were on other drugs. And then the most fascinating study came out about 3 years ago, and they were looking at women with very large breast cancers who were receiving chemotherapy up front to try and shrink it down to make it operable. Some of the women were on metformin, some were on the newer drugs like Actos and Januvia, and some were on insulin. And the study was just to look and see how do diabetic women do with this. But when they went and analyzed the data, they found almost a threefold increased pathologic complete remission rate in the women that happened to be on the metformin. So since then, metformin's been found to activate, here's another example of gene therapy and gene expression, it activates a number of very powerful tumor suppressor genes. And there are foods that activate these types of genes as well. One in particular is black raspberry. So you can get black raspberry in supplement form, in the form of a powder. It's all organic. That activates about 200 different tumor suppressor genes.
I have to ask you a question about metformin, because metformin is a popular drug, at least it was, for diabetes. I think it still is a popular drug. My question to you is, there's been some research that indicates metformin actually can deplete folic acid and B12.
It does. Folic acid, not so much, but B12, you can malabsorb a little bit. So I always put people, and I take metformin just prophylactically, just as a preventative. But I always follow my B12. It's never been low, but, you have to watch it. And it's not a bad idea to take a little supplemental B12 if you're on it.
So while we're on the subject of blood sugar and managing your sugar and reducing sugar and carbs and all the things we hear about all the time that we know are not good for us, what are those numbers that you like to see with fasting and either fasting numbers or, after meal numbers?
I think the best number to look at is insulin-like growth factor. And, you can look at insulin-like growth factor, and even, as important, a lot of people don't have access to that test, but everybody has access to something called a hemoglobin A1C. Mm-hmm. And that is basically a way of gauging what your blood sugar has been for the last 6 weeks. So it's sort of like a 24-hour-a-day average for 6 weeks of what your blood sugar's been. And it should be under 5.7. So again, everybody should know what their hemoglobin A1C is. In a range like around 5.9 or 6, that's considered pre-diabetic. Over 6.3 is considered diabetic.
Right. And that's a really good number for people to check on when they get their blood workup back. And while we're talking about getting blood workup back, I just want to remind everyone, they really need to own the copy of their blood workup. Don't leave it at your doctor's office. Ask for a copy. Put it in your file, because you need to look at these numbers for yourself. So I just want to throw that in there, right?
It's true. And it's also a good idea, just to check C-reactive protein. That's an index of inflammation in your body. Sedimentation rate is an index of inflammation, because there are growth factors. One's called NF-kappa-B, and the other's called AP1. They're associated with inflammation. So a lot of people will just figure, well, I certainly don't have any problem with inflammation. My joints don't hurt, so I'm sure I don't have inflammation. But a lot of people are walking around with sky-high C-reactive proteins. Just being overweight is a degree of inflammation. And the NF-kappa-B and AP1 are raised in inflammatory states. They promote cancer. They promote dormant cancer cells becoming active cancer cells. And the greatest anti-inflammatory that you have in your body is muscle. But you're not going to build muscle if you're not moving. So sedentary lifestyle is probably the number one cause of inflammation. It contributes to you being overweight. Muscle burns significantly more calories than fat. So just when you're sitting doing nothing, the more muscle you have, the more calories that you're burning. So it's very, very important to stay within 10% of your ideal body weight. And I'm very big on weight-bearing exercise, not just for bones, but because it really is important to stay toned. And aerobic exercise is very important, too. But you should absolutely do a combination of both. And other ways of combating inflammation, we've talked about the turmeric. That's a very good natural anti-inflammatory. You should ask your doctor about taking a baby aspirin every day. That's been associated with a lower risk of a variety of different cancers, including breast, ovarian, and pancreatic cancer. It's a simple thing. It costs a few cents a day to do. And again, there are a number of other nutrients that people may not think of, like magnolia bark that has anti-inflammatory properties. So those are the kinds of things that you should think of, you know, for against inflammation, too high glucose. I tell people to avoid white sugar and white flour. Doesn't mean you have to avoid everything sweet. Fruit has a lower glycemic index. Honey is okay, especially Manuka honey. And stevia is a good alternative. Coconut sugar is a good alternative. For if you are going to have any breads or pastas, definitely whole grain, not multigrain, because that starts to be processed. Sprouted whole grain is even better. And I also tell people to watch their alcohol consumption, never more than one drink in a 24-hour period, because by weight, alcohol has the same caloric density as butter. So it really drives up your insulin-like growth factor if you're having more than one drink in a day.
Wow, lots of great information. I have a question for you. What is the mechanism that generates cancer from chronic inflammation?
Well, that is a good question. What happens is when you have chronic inflammation, let's say you've got, you know, you always feel bloated and you've got irritable bowel, or you're having too much caffeine, or you're having too much alcohol, or you're overweight and you're in this chronically inflamed state, then you're making growth factors that cause cancer cells to move from dormancy to active. So what has to happen? What exactly are they doing? One, they're promoting something called abnormal angiogenesis. Angiogenesis, there's two types. There is normal angiogenesis. That just means the growth of new blood vessels. So let's say if you cut yourself, you want new blood vessels. If you have an appendectomy, you want new blood vessels to help everything heal. But if you look at those blood vessels under a microscope, it's this nice, orderly array of blood vessels. They're a completely different process than what you see around cancerous tumors. When you look at those blood vessels under a microscope, it's this dysmorphic, irregular array of blood vessels. And these inflammatory mediators are what promote this abnormal angiogenesis, because the tumors will start stealing the blood supply from the rest of the body. Also, what happens is the cells lose the ability to die when they get old. So what's the fundamental difference between a cancer cell and a normal cell? The fundamental difference is cancer cells don't die when they get old. They just keep dividing and dividing. So the normal cell, that programmed cell death, when it gets old, that's called apoptosis. So there's all these nutrients that can help promote normal angiogenesis and inhibit abnormal angiogenesis, while at the same time helping cells regain the ability to die normally, or that's called pro-apoptotic. So again, the pro-apoptotic nutrients are things like garlic. Garlic is profoundly apoptotic, pro-apoptotic. Bark from magnolia is very pro-apoptotic. Carnosine is an amino acid. It's a nutrient that's very good for your mitochondria, but that also helps promote apoptosis. So those are just some of the things that I talk about in my book. And, you know, I really go over how diet, supplements, you know, unfortunately, we're not living on the same planet that our grandparents lived on. So people really need to think about juicing. I have a lot of juicing recipes I talk about because there's just certain things you're not going to get enough of or at all if you're not juicing or taking supplements. So it has to be a measured approach. And so when our grandparents...
This is a good place for us as you... So you can take a breath, so we can take a break. And then when we come back, let's talk about some of your... recommendations to support people who are dealing with an episode. What do they need to know? as far as managing their and their healing process, and you know what people need to know for long term, and also the spiritual component, which I know is you're very passionate about. So we have lots to talk about when we come back from our break. So hang on, Mitch. We'll be right back. And to all my listeners, don't go away. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know. And today we're talking about breast cancer prevention and healing strategies from an integrative oncologist point of view with Dr. Mitchell Gaynor, who is the founder and president of Gaynor Integrative Oncology and Gaynor Wellness in New York City. And he is also the author of four books, six CDs, and his new book that will be coming out in April is called The Gene Therapy Plan. So, Mitch, I have a question to ask you. When people come to you in your oncology practice, do you have like two practices? You know, you have the Gaynor Wellness and the Gaynor Integrative Oncology. Are they like two separate things?
I do. Basically, I am an oncologist, and what that's really allowed me to do, because I was very fortunate, so I happened to be at Rockefeller University as part of my fellowship studying gene expression and how nutrients affected genes that could turn on cancer and turn off cancer right when all this was developing. So that was the way oncology was going, and I became very, very interested in the nutritional aspects too, because with the best medical training in the world, nobody had ever mentioned that before, and I realized how important that it was. So then I became very interested in prevention, because really the best thing is to never get cancer in the first place. That will be the ultimate cure for cancer, is to where we get to a point to where we can keep people from getting it. And I do believe we will see that.
As you know, I am, I'm really fascinated with the gene side of things, and I've been doing nutrigenomic testing for over 3 years, and I see that as such a great tool to help alter a person's destiny, their health destiny, by seeing the genes that make them most vulnerable, like we were talking about, detoxification genes and genes that predispose people to be upregulating their inflammatory cytokines, so they can take action and incorporate diet lifestyle that really alters things. It profoundly changed my health, and when I learned about my genes, and even though I was doing everything that I thought was correct, it didn't show up in my blood work up. I had high homocysteine levels and, you know, high triglycerides. I had all these indications that something was awry, and I didn't know why, because I thought I was really healthy in every way possible. But doing the genomic testing, I saw these vulnerabilities. I saw I couldn't detoxify very efficiently, and I saw I was prone to inflammation and couldn't methylate, couldn't utilize folic acid. So I made changes, and it really has altered my health profoundly, and I believe my health destiny.
I agree. I mean, I think it is very, very important people learn as much as they can about, you know, their gene expression, their level of inflammation that they have in their body, all those type of things. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, has been most gratifying for me is, you know, in treating patients with cancer is, you know, really to let them see that it's never too late. And the reason I say that it's never too late, you know, even if somebody already has cancer, it's not too late. You still have a detoxification system. You still have an immune system. You can still correct all the underlying causes of cancer. And it's never too late to do that. It's never too late to take control of your health. And you know, when you get to the most fundamental levels, which is truly our gene expression, our DNA, that is where we can have the most positive impact. So that's the approach that I was able to take. That's why I started Gaynor Wellness in addition to Gaynor Integrative Oncology, because everything that I learned in terms of gene expression, predisposition for disease, you know, I wanted to get to people before they had something serious or, you know, while things were just at an earlier stage.
So I have a question to ask you. As an oncologist, if someone comes to you with cancer, is it, as an oncologist, is it standard of care that you must offer them chemotherapy?
It depends. Everybody's different, and everybody, you know, there are certain cancers now. I mean, there's more and more that we use targeted therapies for. So, you know,
targeted
my approach...
Chemo? Is targeted chemo? Like
it's not chemo. It's, you know, there are drugs. You know, we do all this molecular testing. So just about everybody that comes in will do molecular testing on their tumor and see what genes are driving the tumor. And then there are many times drugs that are often pills against those genes that aren't chemotherapy that can have a huge effect. But again, just like you said, you don't know that those exist, you know, until you test for them. You know, I had a young man come in yesterday, non-smoker, with lung cancer that had presented with stage 4 disease, and he had received chemotherapy at, you know, he doesn't even live in New York, but came in and had not responded to the chemotherapy and did all the molecular testing, and he's got this one mutation that, you know, there's a very high likelihood that there is a genetic drug. It's called Zelboraf, and there's a number of papers out now. It's mainly indicated for melanoma with that mutation, but it's a pill, and you take it with another pill that's against another gene called Mechanist, and I have a lot of experience with that. But like I say, you know, a lot of people don't have access to that because people are, you know, still thinking, you know, with yesterday's type of cookbook therapy.
Right. I mean, there are ways to, you know, there are testing that can tell you drugs or nutrition that can best optimize outcomes, and you know, we have lots of options.
And one other very important thing, just in answer to that question about chemotherapy, is, you know, we used to just think more and more was better. There's something now called metronomic chemotherapy, which is very low dose, but on a constant level of oral types of chemotherapy, or sometimes it's IV. And that tends to be a lot easier on people in terms of side effects, and it's really looking in many cases and for many cancers like it can work better because it is doesn't, you know, when you give a big dose of chemotherapy and you kill a lot of cancer cells, the cancer cells lyse, they release all these inflammatory mediators into the body. It selects out for drug-resistant cancer stem cells. So, you know, it may work well for a while, but then it comes back even stronger and more drug-resistant. You tend to avoid that with the low-dose metronomic therapy because that is, again, it's promoting this apoptosis I was talking about, or normal cell death. It's decreasing abnormal angiogenesis. And so there are a lot of ways of combining, you know, these very, very low doses, and sometimes it's almost homeopathic doses of chemo. I published a paper recently in a peer-reviewed journal of a woman. She came to me with widely metastatic melanoma. It started on her heel, and it had progressed to the lung, all up in her leg, the lymph nodes. Leg was infected from cancer metastases, and it was swollen about four times the size of the other leg. She had been sent to hospice by her other doctors, and that was 3.5 years ago. And using mainly immune therapies and just tiny, tiny doses of oral chemotherapy, not enough to make her nauseated or her hair fall out or anything like that, she's been in complete remission for, you know, after the third month for about 3 years now. So there are a lot of new things, but, you know, the key point to that is, you know, we always thought more was better, but very often more is not better, and that, you know, is the newer science as well.
Well, so basically what you're learning is that people have been overdosed on their chemotherapy drugs.
Well, it's more that we're learning what the correct types of dosages, and we're learning how to combine targeted therapies, which allows lower doses of chemotherapies. And we also have a lot of drugs that prevent side effects from chemotherapy as well.
And as you were saying, you have the testing that can individualize what therapy would be most effective for that person.
Absolutely. So it has to be personalized.
Yeah, but,
the reason is it has to be so personalized that there's something called tumor cell heterogeneity. So even if if somebody's been treated with chemo and the tumor progresses, very often we'll re-biopsy it, and the tumor will look completely different than it looked, before.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to stay on top of this. I mean, this is how oncology is really evolving. We're always looking at molecular fingerprints and gene expression just on a regular basis, almost like we take somebody's blood pressure.
Well, those who are on the leading edge, I think there are probably still too many traditional oncologists out there that don't have your thinking.
Well,
hopefully
that's going to evolve. I'm hoping my book will play a big role
in that. I'm sure that's part of your job here,
mm-hmm.
to lead the way. A couple of questions. I heard a statistic recently, and maybe this applies to more of the traditional chemotherapy, that it is effective 3% of the time.
Again, it depends, you know, on what stage it's at, what particular cancer. I think it's hard to generalize. I will use, when I use chemotherapy, I'll always use it in combination with different nutrients, because you can't forget about the immune system. You can't forget about the underlying causes of inflammation. You can't forget about things that induce apoptosis. You can't forget about the targeted therapies. But really, for me, it's just looking largely at gene expression and how it's changing throughout a person's course. That's sort of like the cookbook type of way of doing things, I think, is going by the wayside pretty quickly.
Well, good. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. I have a question, and this is actually from a situation of a personal friend who's had chemotherapy. She had estrogen receptor negative breast cancer, so had a lot of aggressive treatments, and her little veins have collapsed, and she is desperate to find a way. So I have you here, I was going to ask you, is there any way to recover genes that have collapsed from all those IVs?
Yeah, I mean, usually what we'll do is we'll put in, if people need IV still, we'll put in something called an infusoport. It's just a little indwelling catheter underneath the skin. It goes in just underneath the clavicle or shoulder blade.
Is there anything that can help those veins? Actually?
Huh?
Can anything help those veins recover?
Yeah. A lot of times people just squeeze a tennis ball, just again start to use them. That can help. And then there are some nutrients that I'll use. I like pomegranate powder, which is just very concentrated pomegranate. That can help with that. Fish oil will help with that. I use something called Boswellia, which mm-hmm. is frankincense. That's very mm-hmm. good also.
That's because I know that's such a disturbing side effect for so many people.
Mm-hmm. But it's easy to get around.
Oh, good. Okay, so I want to shift gears a bit because I know you have been very involved with creating healing music. That's a big part of who you are and what you do. Can you talk a little bit about that side of things?
Yes. Yeah, so several years ago, I wrote a book called The Healing Power of Sound, and the subtitle was Recovering from Life-Threatening Illness Using Sound, Voice, and Music. And so we've talked a bit about toxins today, but one of the biggest toxins that doesn't have anything to do with chemicals or heavy metals is stress. And people, you know, may have had stress from the time they were children, may come at different times in a person's life, but there's nothing out there you can look at and say, well, this is what stress looks like. It's a more internal way of seeing things. And so I found that one of the most powerful things I can do for a person is just to help them regain a sense of peace. And so I do a lot of work with yoga breathing, deep breathing. I composed a lot of music that has to do with brainwave entrainment, just helping people relax using guided imagery. I use instruments called Tibetan bowls, which are metal singing bowls. They're composed of 7 to 9 different metals. When you hit them, it almost sounds like a lot of church bells. And then there are quartz crystal bowls that have beautiful tones. They could be tuned to any note. And the CDs that I've done, they've become very popular, and especially after I was on Dr. Oz with them, on Amazon. And those, you know, can help you get a better night's sleep. They can help you with focus and clarity. And, you know, the whole part of music is you have to remember your body is 70% water. It's an excellent conductive medium for sound and vibration. So you're not only hearing with your ears, you're literally hearing with your whole body. And I'll give everybody a session. I have a machine in my office called a Kita Biosonic machine. And you listen with headphones. It has a little speaker that takes the music and turns it into vibration. And so it goes over the person's heart, forehead, and neck. And you listen to music that way, and people will invariably tell me that that's the most relaxed they've ever felt, regardless of how stressed they are when they come into the office. And, you know, when you're dealing with cancer, it can be pretty stressful. And so I talk about a lot of techniques with breathing and toning and music and types of music in the book, and the CDs are really very helpful to people also.
You know, I believe that if we are going to support the body's ability to heal, we have to go into those places of deep relaxation, because so much healing occurs when we are in those altered states.
And again, that affects gene expression also. So we know stress affects gene expression profoundly, and we know that that can even be passed on to your children. You know, that whole field of epigenetics or behavioral epigenetics, I mean, it's shown that trauma affects gene expression, and that's heritable, you know. Yeah. And so it's very, very important that people realize how important this is for their health, because you can't walk around with day in and day out stress, day in and day out worry, and think that that's not going to affect your immune system and your chances of developing diabetes and cancer and being overweight. It's critically important you detox that way, as well as with food.
So do you have everyone who comes to see you go on your machine, or do you give
everybody? The first visit, I'll usually give people like a 30-minute session. And then, again, every time somebody comes in for a treatment, so, you know, I'll do other, you know, types of IV therapies. I, you know, sometimes we'll do chemo. Sometimes I'll do IVs as far as vitamin C and amino acids. There's a lot of data for that we probably don't have time to get into. But, you know, after I examine a patient, see them, I'll always give them a 2 or 3 minute session with sound and breathing. And it just, you know, adds a completely other important dimension to this whole journey.
Because it is a multifaceted journey, and you really cannot leave any part out of it.
No. It is. I tell people that, you know, if you were to ask me, if you were to ask an architect the most important part of a house, they would tell you the foundation. You know, they wouldn't say the shingles on your roof or the type of windows you have. The foundation's the most important part. The foundation for having good health, for regaining it and keeping it, is to have inner peace. So that's the foundation. Everything else, you're just adding to it.
Such an important message that everyone really needs to hear. It's understanding that however you do it, you know, however you get into a place of deep relaxation where you can find that inner well-being and feel your heart opening up and your breath opening up, has to be incorporated into our lives. I was talking to someone the other day who said that their child who's in preschool is learning yoga and meditation in preschool. Don't you love it?
It's great. And there's so many different things. You know, nature, on all my Crystal Sonic series of CDs, I have beautifully recorded nature sounds, running water, forests, you know, birds chirping. You know, that's a form of very healing sound. That's a detoxifying type of sound. So that combined with, you know, natural crystal music, you know, it really is a very unique expression. And, you know, I call that crystal sonic therapy. And it really combines nature sounds and sounds that come from just pure quartz crystal that I actually recorded and then played into a keyboard. And, you know, I've had personal experience with this. My own mother, she died of breast cancer very young when I was 9 years old. And her last two wishes, it was pretty amazing because it shaped a lot of my life, were that my dad buy me a piano, and that she really wanted me to learn how to cook and everything, because she knew I would end. She knew she wasn't going to make it, and she knew I would end up having to be cooking. And so she was very into Adele Davis once she found out about her diagnosis and supplements. So, you know, I was influenced by that from a very early age. You know, it was too late for her because it was already far advanced when she started doing it.
Yes, it's always fascinating to see how those early experiences impact us and shape us and shape our destiny.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this has been such a fascinating conversation, Mitch. I really appreciate the work you're doing and how you're bringing all these strands together into this and weaving it into this wholeness, which is so important. And, you know, I just want people to know they can learn more about your work. I guess Gainer Wellness.
That Gainer Wellness, and also I have a new, people want to sign up for my newsletter, which is free. It's genechanger.com, GENEchanger.com.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. Good luck with your new book coming out, The Gene Therapy Plan.
Thank you.
Wait to read it. And all the best, Mitch. I really appreciate everything you're doing.
It was great to be with you, Cheryl.
Thank you. And to all my listeners, it was great to have you with us as well for these series. Remember, there are a couple of more of the Breast Health Awareness series coming up, so be sure to listen, stay tuned, go to my website, What Women Must Know, get my free reports, go to my Facebook page. I'm posting a couple of posts every single day with strategies for breast health awareness. So get empowered, get yourself to be as expansive and knowledgeable as possible so you can make informed decisions. And remember, come visit me when I lecture at the Natural Gourmet School, November 23rd in the afternoon, 2 to 5. Great 3-hour event. I look forward to seeing you there. And until next time, remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.